السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Wednesday morning. My name is Junaid Jassat. I will be with you until 12 today, inshallah. In the first segment, the first portion of our program, we're going to be taking a look at current affairs stories and world stories, and then thereafter, inshallah, we will be speaking to Walana Ahmed Johan Sahib, speaking to him about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the basis and the format of our program this morning, taking a look at the current affairs stories in different parts of the world which are making headlines, and particularly South Africa as well. The stories around South Africa that are making headlines, and things that are very relevant and current to us as well. We are looking at first up with regards to the stampede that took place in Mina. As we have known and we have learned and realized that the stampede took place, it claimed the lives of 769 people, many people injured as well. And immediately, as soon as the stampede took place, the blame game opened up and the blame game started. And you had different quarters, different people, different individuals, countries, different organizations laying the blame on various different aspects and different reasons. And some of them, one of the claims was that a Saudi prince went to do pelting at that time, and his motorcade caused the stampede. That was one of the claims that were made. Another made was that there were pilgrims who came the wrong way down one way, and they caused the stampede. Then some blamed the stampede on the Iranians, and you say it was the Iranian pilgrims who did that. And there were many different reasons, and even the people on the ground perhaps don't even know the reason for this stampede. Now, for a person to pass away in a stampede is a very, very painful death, definitely. But we look at, firstly, the significance of that death in the state of Ihram. Many of them, I think most of them, still in the state of Ihram. And then also passing away in Hajj, in the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, in Mina, and most Mubarak and blessed deaths. But now the issue that's coming up is the drive to politicize the stampede. And there have been countries, including Iran, who are trying to exploit the death of the pilgrims in Mina for political purposes. And, you know, these countries now are using the stampede to say that the Saudi is getting punishment for what they're doing in Yemen. Some are saying that Saudi is not good in managing Hajj. And the statement has been noted also from a person that Hajj should be moved to Iran, we'll handle it better, and things like that. Now, obviously, there's many different factors that play into this, and we don't want to go into investigation, we don't want to go into discussing why the stampede actually took place, but the reality that we all need to draw and understand and realize is that people have lost their lives, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written, for them to lose their lives that particular time, that particular way. And we should accept it as wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. Whatever precaution we wanted to take was taken. And if anybody had a hand in causing this, then they will be brought to book. If not now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to book on the day of Qiyamah. And that judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be much more severe than any judgment that they could face in this world. And we should leave it to that politicizing and taking benefit or any type of benefit out of this stampede. It will in actual fact be taking away from the martyrdom and from the death of these people who lost so much. And you know, they really went through so much. Their families have been through so much, and so we shouldn't take away from their death and demise. Another story that comes up is 102 stampede hit pilgrims identified at city hospital. So There's 102 pilgrims whose pictures have been set up on huge screens, and they have all been identified. Now there are only 14 people who still have to be identified, and the hospital is using every means possible to process pilgrims, and this approach makes it easier for pilgrims to search for missing relatives at the hospital. And so there's just 14 people who have not yet been identified. Then that is the second news story that we are looking at. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for their family members, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant benefit to all those who have passed away and lost their lives in this stampede. It is really a tragedy, but we hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them full reward, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them Jannah. And so that is the two main news stories that we are looking at around the world. And then you have a number of other news stories that are happening in South Africa. And one is the e-toll saga that is playing out in the Western Cape. And then you have cable theft that has caused the train network from train network to halt, to stand at a halt. And then you have you know, all of these different issues, cable theft from other angles. You have all of these different things that are affecting our country and the world. One major issue is poaching, and poaching is a major problem in our country. Another issue that we see here, a world news story that just surfaced now a few minutes ago, is that Indian police say they have arrested six people after a 50-year-old Muslim man was beaten to death over rumors he had eaten beef. Muhammad Akhlaq was dragged from his house on the outskirts of the capital and attacked by about 100 people on Monday night. When a team reached the spot, a crowd was there outside his house. They managed to rescue him and take him to hospital, but his life could not be saved. We have arrested six people and deployed additional personnel to contain any further repercussions. Akhlaq's 22-year-old son was also seriously injured in the attack. Was in intensive care at a nearby hospital. Said that killing cows is banned in many states of India, a majority Hindu country that also has sizable Muslim, Christian and Buddhist minorities. Maharashtra state of Maharashtra toughened its ban to make even possessing beef illegal, a move seen by religious minorities as a sign of the growing power of hardline Hindus since Nationalist Prime Minister Narendra Modi came to power. The rumors that the family had eaten beef began when a calf was reported missing in Dadri village, 35 kilometers from New Delhi. An announcement about the family consuming beef was made at the temple, after which the mob descended on the man's house, said Kiran. The Indian Express quoted Akhlaq's daughter Sajida as saying the family had mutton in the fridge and not beef. They accused us of keeping cow meat, broke down our doors, started beating my father and brother. My father was dragged outside and beaten with bricks, she told the Daily. So this is a huge issue from the angle that once this issue surfaces, then we are just hoping that there aren't retaliatory attacks. And then in the you know, the way that it happens in India is that then you are going to get people causing riots, and then many more people in fact losing their lives. So we just hope that everyone just exercises restraint and make sure that they don't let this become a major political issue as well. Yes, what's right and wrong, that's besides the point, but what we are hoping is that this doesn't become a political issue with riots, etc., taking place, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, I just gone to 23 minutes past 11 and listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned.
बंदा तेरा तू है मालिक मेरा। तेरे मोहताज या रब सभी है। Radio Islam signed a code of conduct with the BCCSA. Under that code, we are committed to news that is accurate, comment that is fair, and programs that are not harmful to children. Does not amount to hate speech, the description of gratuitous violence, or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, inform the BCCSA. Direct any complaints in writing to BCCSA, PO Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024. Email bccsa@napsa.co.za. Please note our new address and telephone number. Block number 8, Burnside Island Office Park, 410 Jan Smuts Avenue, Craig Hall 2196. Telephone number 011-326-3130. Fax number 011-326-3197. For more information, visit bccsa.co.za.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love. But I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child. This is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Mmm, thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
Opening our hearts to Suratul Fatiha, the opening surah. An overnight program explaining 20 lessons deduced from Suratul Fatiha at Masjidul Furqan Houghton. Presented by Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat. Session 1, Asr to Maghrib. Session 2, 30 minutes after Maghrib. Session 3, after Isha. And Session 4, after Fajr Salah. Ladies' accommodation is arranged for Session 1, 2 and 3. Masjidul Furqan and its musallis look forward to hosting you on Saturday, the 3rd of October, 2015. www.hma.org.za.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrif, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's just gone 28 minutes before 12. Very warm welcome to our guest this morning, Mawlana Ahmed Chohan Sab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh, very well, alhamdulillah. Allah shukar. How are you keeping?
Allah shukar, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Mawlana, inshallah, in our program we will continue with our discussion on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will carry on speaking about from last week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Radio Islam International. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. We have been discussing the sublime character and traits of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to sleeping and going to bed, and we discussed various aspects of what we should be reciting before we go to bed, and we discussed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's continued habit of reading surahs like Surah As-Sajda, that is Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Ha Mim Sajda, and then we discussed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's recitation of Surah Mulk and also Surah Zumar and Bani Israel, and then the Musabbihat, that is those surahs of the Quran that begin with Sabbaha or Yusabbihu, that Surah Al-Hadid, Surah Al-Hashar, Surah Al-Saf, Surah Al-Jum'ah, Surah Al-Taghabut, and Surah Al-A'la. We also discussed the verses that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, like the last verses of Surah Al-Imran, the Surah Kafirun, the Mu'awwidhain, that is Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas, and then Ayat Kursi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also recited before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to bed. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, recite any portion of the Quran that will be also beneficial for a person. And then we discuss the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we begin now with other dhikr, or the plural of which is adhkar, at the time of bedtime. Now, generally, a person that goes to sleep with some thoughts in his mind. He has retired from the day, sometimes a very difficult day, sometimes a day that was very profitable, sometimes a day in which a person may have engaged in some losses, there could have been some challenges that had come. A person is going to sleep. So our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taught us to try and remove all the day activities from our minds, from our brains, from our hearts, and let us try to engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, never could it be that a Muslim falls off to sleep in the condition of wudu, and whilst being engaged in the zikr of Allah, and thereafter wakes up in the dead of night to ask of any of his worldly or akhirat needs, and that such a supplication will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that it has been very general that a person should be engaged in any form of zikr. Now the forms of zikr, maybe the kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah, or the third kalima subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, or any other form of zikr that a person wishes to make, and that person falls asleep in the state of wudu, in the state of engaging in zikrullah, and then if chance the person gets up in the dead of night. Now again, it will be best that if the person gets up, he relieves himself or she relieves herself, and then we make wudu, and then we read 2 or 4 rakats or any amount of rakats of namaz, of tahajjud salat, and then we engage in the dua and seek from Allah. That will be the best. But if a person is unable to do so, maybe one is ill, or maybe a person is very tired, but even in whilst lying in one's bed and one's head is still on the pillow, and that person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that dua also will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even better than that will be the person sits up and then the person makes dua, that dua will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith is very, very general. There is no specific dhikr in this particular hadith. And again, there is no special form of making the dua of getting up and performing 2 rakat salat, and one makes dua, that dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find, as the Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man retires to his bed, an angel and a shaitan, a devil, rushes towards him. The angel says, may you have a prosperous ending. In other words, that angel is making dua for the person, that may you have a prosperous ending. Prosperous here will refer to prosperous insofar as akhirat is concerned, success insofar as the hereafter is concerned. And also the devil or the shaitan that rushes to the person will be invoking a curse upon that person. May you have an unsuccessful ending. In other words, insofar as again akhirat is concerned, if the person takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sleeping, the angel safeguards him throughout the night. And again, here he is getting the ibadat, getting the du'as of the angels, getting the presence of the angels, simply because we engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala also narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the person awakens, both again the angel and the shaitan, the devil, rushes to the person once again, and the devil says, may you awaken with evil. In other words, here evil may be thoughts, evil may be bad intentions, evil can also mean bad habits, bad akhlaq, and it could also mean evil deeds that a person performs. And then the angel now tries to revoke all that and makes dua, may you awaken with good. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the person reads the following dua upon awakening, then he will die as a martyr, as he has to die on that, if he has to die on that particular day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these beautiful du'as, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this du'a. There is a long du'a that we will recite, and then there is also an abridged and short form of the du'a. Alhamdulillahi alladhi radda ilayya nafsi ba'da mawtiha wa lam yumitha fi manamiha. All praise be to Allah who has returned my soul to my body, and he has not granted me death in my sleep. Alhamdulillahi alladhi yumsiku as-samawati wal-ardi an tazula. And all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who withholds the skies and the earth from collapsing. Wala in zalata in amsakahuma min ahadim min ba'di innahu kana haliman ghafura. And if the earth and the skies have to collapse, no one will be able to control them from collapsing. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. And if one can read just the last part of it, Alhamdulillah alladhi yumsiku as-samawati an taqa'a 'ala al-ardi illa bi-idhni inna Allaha bin-nasi la-ra'ufur rahim, that will also suffice for that person. And in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us this very, very beautiful dua. Alhamdulillah alladhi yumsiku as-samawati an taqa'a 'ala al-ardi illa bi-idhni inna Allaha bin-nasi la-ra'ufur rahim. Now we also find again Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us virtue of dhikr, and no particular dhikr has been mentioned in this hadith that we're going to speak about. That Abu Murrah rahmatullah alayhi narrates that the bed of a person who retires to it in the state of wudu, and that person engages in the dhikr of Allah whilst he is upon the bed, is regarded as a masjid. The person receives the reward of being engaged in dhikr and salat until he awakens. Now by engaging dhikr prior to falling off to sleep, one receives the reward of being in dhikr for the whole night, long after one may have slept away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us recurring rewards, rewards that is undiminishing because of this great act of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we remove now from our hearts and our minds all the worldly activities that we may have been engaged in, and now we bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts, into our minds, then obviously that is highly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites the following dua whilst in bed will have all his sins forgiven, even though they are equivalent to the foams on the ocean. Now, if one just has to look at the foams on the ocean, that which we can see, it is numerous, it is countless, and if we take the oceans of the world and we try to assess, then obviously we will never be able to count the different formations of foam on the ocean. And the dua is also a very simple dua. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ هُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That forms the fourth kalima. And then لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That is also easy for us, the last part of the third kalima. And then Subhanallah وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. That is the first part of the third kalima. So the entire fourth kalima, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The last part of the third kalima, and in Subhanallah walhamdulillah wala ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, that is the first part of the third kalima, and that person obviously he now becomes a recipient of the very great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all his sins will be forgiven. Just one point that the muhaddithin have brought to our notice, and that is that these will be the minor sins that a person has committed. From time to time we commit sins involuntarily, sometimes we do it intentionally, and the major sins obviously we will have to seek forgiveness and ask tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will be a very unfortunate thing for us that in this world Allah has given us these opportunities to seek, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive. So the supplications that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us are as such that it guarantees goodness of this world, it guarantees goodness of the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to make tawbah and to seek and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these different forms of ibadah that we are making. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability, Allah ta'ala grant us the strength in which we can make these ibadah and make these supplications only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then obviously Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive our minor sins. Now there are other du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that are fairly straightforward, fairly simple, and we go through those du'as at the time of retiring to bed, at the time of going to bed, whilst we are in our bed. One is to make istighfar. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites before going to sleep will have all his sins pardoned, even though they are equivalent to the foam of the oceans, or the number of leaves on trees, or equivalent to the number of days of this world. Now again, who can count the foams on the ocean? Who can count the number of leaves on the trees? Who knows how many days this earth is in existence? That is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, very simple, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayk. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayk. Simple, very, very simple. We all make this supplication and this istighfar all the time after salat. So Sayyidina Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that if we read this before we go to sleep, and any amount of time, any number of times we can read it, until we go to sleep, till our eyes close, till tiredness overpowers us, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayk, and the reward of it, I will pardon our sins, even if it is equivalent to the foam of the sea, or the number of leaves on the trees, or even if it is it will equivalent to the number of days of this world. And again, this is the minor sins that is being affected. Then recite Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he himself used to recite 12,000 times istighfar daily. He had his string with 1,000 knots on it. Now today we don't have to even put the trouble of taking a string and knotting 1,000 knots on the string, but all we just have to do is we use a tasbih. And he used to do this 12,000 times daily, and he would not go to bed before completing the recitation of Subhanallah on it also. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was to make istighfar and to say astaghfirullah 12,000 times daily, and together with that he would complete the recitation of Subhanallah, that is 1,000 times before he would go to sleep. And that sets for us a very, very exemplary precedence that we can follow and we can try to emulate. The next important thing with regards to du'as, supplications and dhikr before a person goes to sleep is famous tasbih Fatimi radiallahu ta'ala anha. We find that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, should I not do a supplication which is better than possessing a slave? When you retire to bed, recite Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and this is better for you than owning a slave. Now Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi reports that one should read Allahu Akbar 34 times, and in this way, the person will complete 100. So it is 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, in one narration 33 times Allahu Akbar, and in one narration 34 times Allahu Akbar. And that will be better than owning a slave. Now, a slave generally seems very easy for a person insofar as the daily tasks and activities are concerned. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes on the responsibility to see to it the daily task of an individual is completed with ease, and obviously with a great deal of merit insofar as the reward of the hereafter is concerned. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrated that they never omitted this practice from the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to carry it out till the end of their lives. Now there was a historic battle that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had participated in, and that is known as the Battle of Siffin. That night also Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had recited this late at night. Obviously there are some narrations that he never slept that night, but that does not rule out the possibility that he did not recite the Tasbih Fatimah. Now many merits have been documented regarding the efforts of reading this Tasbih before sleeping. One is Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahmatullah Ali, has written that whoever reads this as a matter of routine, he practices, will accomplish difficult tasks with a great deal of ease. And Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, has written that the benefits of this Tasbih have been proven time and time again. When a person is at that time, it repels all tiredness and gives one renewed stamina. You will find that person will get up in the morning and that person is refreshed and obviously ready to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith speaks about a particular food or salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that Abu Qursafara radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any person retires to bed and after he recites Surah Mulk, he recites this durood 4 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint 2 angels to travel to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mention his name and convey his salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in turn also conveys salam to the person and invokes the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that person. Now this durood, salawat, is a very simple salawat. We will recite it once or twice so that we can just write it down or however we wish to memorize it. Allahumma rabbal hilli wal haram. Allahumma rabbal hilli wal haram. ورب البلد الحرام اللهم رب الحل والحرام ورب البلد الحرام ورب الركن والمقام ورب الركن والمقام ورب المشعر الحرام. We'll do it again. اللهم رب الحل والحرام ورب البلد الحرام ورب الركن والمقام ورب المشعر الحرام بحق كل آية بحق كل آية أنزلتها من شهر رمضان بحق كل آية أنزلتها من شهر رمضان بلغ روح محمد مني التحية والسلام بلغ روح محمد مني التحية والسلام. We'll repeat it. Allahumma rabbal hilli wal haram wa rabbal baladi al haram wa rabbal rukni wal maqam wa rabbal mash'ari al haram bihaqqi kulli ayatin anzaltaha min shahri ramadan bihaqqi kulli ayatin anzaltaha min shahri ramadan balligh روح محمد مني التحية والسلام بلغ روح محمد مني التحية والسلام. This durood appears in the famous kitab Al-Qawl al-Badi, which is also translated into English. Allama Sakhawi Rahmatullah Ali has written this in his kitab, that one should recite salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before going to bed, and also on awakening. Allama Khawi Rahmatullah Ali has also written that a person suffering from insomnia should recite salawat at bedtime. Today we have this often complaint that is often that a person cannot sleep, maybe because of illness or maybe because of other issues. So I recite abundant durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this durood we will translate it. Allahumma rabbal hilli wal haram. We all understand the haram of Makkah Mukarrama, the haram where a person will enter Makkah Mukarrama through the boundaries of this haram, and the hill is the area that is outside the haram of Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the hill, in other words, the whole world, and the haram of Makkah, wa Rabb al baladi al haram, and that Allah, who is the Rabb of the city that is sacred, and refers to Makkah Mukarrama, wa Rabb al rukni wal maqam, and that Allah, who is the Rabb of the rukn, and here rukn refers to the corner of where Hajar al-Aswad has been placed, wal maqam, and maqam refers to the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which we refer to maqam Ibrahim, wa rabbal mash'ar al-haram. Mash'ar al-haram, we may have heard over the Hajj broadcast, it refers to the place called Muzdalifa, where the Hajis, after leaving Arafat, will spend the night before they go on to the journey to Mina to pelt the Jamarat. So Allah is the Rabb of Mash'ar al-Haram. بِحَقِّ كُلِّ آيَةٍ أَنْزَلْتَهَا مِنْ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ, and through the right of each verse that, O Allah, you revealed in the month of Ramadan, that is to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلِّتْ رُوحَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنِّي التَّحِيَّةَ وَالسَّلَامُ, O Allah, convey to the ruh of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our salam and our peace. And in this way, if a person does this and recites this durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will appoint an angel to deliver this salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Angels to travel all the way to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will deliver this salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will receive the names of these people, and then he will convey the salams. He will respond to the salam and invoke the blessing and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon such individuals. So I think very, very important to recap today's program, some of the easier du'as that when we go to bed, at least we can recite, Astaghfirullah, alladhi la ilaha illa hu, al-hayyu al-qayyum, and in this way, we will have our sins pardoned, no matter how many those sins may be. And number two is Tasbih Fatimi, that we recite, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward in many, many ways, and among them, our task will be accomplished. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Maulana, for that program, and jazakumullahu khairan for that beautiful dua that you have taught us today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we will speak to Maulana next week, Wednesday, again from Junaid Isar. Shukran jazilan. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Ziad, this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.